The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes. Oops, oops, oops.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
All right. Well, I am back here and I am super excited. I have been waiting on this interview for, I've asked her many, 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 many times and we've talked about it. And I have my dear friend, Marchesa Taylor here. Hello, Marchesa.
Hi, Rick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for asking and glad to be here.
Yes. Well, we'll get into it later, but you and I talk every other week because you are my holistic nutrition life coach. And we do a lot of work together. And yes, I have lost 70 pounds. And so I know.
This is what we always do.
So for all of you guys, Marchesa is a wife, a mom, a grandmom. She is a Christian singer and an amazing one. I know I've heard her sing harmony. I've watched her sing, especially at the Berean Bible Church Conference. That's where I got to see you sing live. And those harmonies were amazing. She's a songwriter and she's a Bible teacher and a writer. And also, and I know that she taught a women's class, not a women's class, but you did a women's group study at the Berean Bible Church. I think it was for Safe Haven. Am I right?
It's actually just for all the women of
Not
the Berean Bibles. Well, I'm part of that also.
Yeah.
So we always include that. But yes, it is for the Berean Bible Church women all over the world.
Right.
And I think that was my third time. So yeah. I'm always so excited and honored to do that. They're just a great group of ladies. And they have such a heart for not only learning, but also sharing with each other that sweet fellowship that we get when we actually can get together. So,
yeah. Yeah. And like I said, you are a holistic health practitioner. And that was something about a year ago, a little over a year ago, actually, it was at the conference in 2024. We were just chatting at the table and I was talking about my weight and I was almost 300 pounds. I was 0.4 pounds away from being 300 pounds. And you just said, hey, if you want to change that, I can show you. And that's what you've been doing for over a year now. And so here we are, 70 pounds off. And
yay,
it's still happening. So we'll get into that later. But let's get into your testimony. That's what I wanted to talk to you about. I'm very curious about your life and how you came to know the Lord. And so I'm going to ask you a question. This is a question that I ask every single guest. Some people know it ahead of time and some people I don't tell. I don't think I told you.
No, you didn't.
To the best of your ability, can you tell me the earliest memory of when you heard the name Jesus Christ?
First and foremost, let me just give glory to Yeshua.
Yeah.
First and foremost, without whom I would not be sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
I knew as a small child of five that I believed in Christ. I called him by name. I talked to him at night when I kissed my pillow goodnight.
Mm-hmm.
I just pretended that he was right there.
Wow. So were you raised in a Christian home or were you around Christianity or how did that name get into your mind?
I was raised in a Christian home, a very traditional, but very strict atmosphere. At 9 years old, I was told to memorize quite a few scriptures and to understand what it meant to actually become a Christian. Mm-hmm. And I did that. And I had another sister who was a little bit younger than me, a little over a year younger than me. And we both did it together.
Mm.
And our parents quizzed us on it all the time. And they had other people quiz us on it. Just because they thought, well, we're just trying to impress them. But that wasn't true. We really did believe it. And then we were baptized at church and I got my first Bible.
Mm, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So obviously, I know you now. This is all these years later, and so I know where you landed, but I'm very curious to hear your story. I'd like to know, like, from that time of nine, and bring us up to the present. Just take as long as you want, or be, you know, you can be as intimate as you want to be, or as not intimate as you don't want to be. That's fine too. But I'm very curious how that relationship with the Lord developed over the years. And yeah, just tell us more about you.
Okay. Well, as a teenager, I volunteered to do missionary work, locally, and, you know, door to door. We would also go to some other states, and we would also have what was called the youth summer. What was it called? Summer youth, where you every Tuesday night you would go to other churches. So I would invite as many people as I could get to go, or I would talk to the friends that I had and say, this is what's going to be happening. You'll go here and you'll see all of these other young people. And it could be anywhere from a couple of hundred people to 1,000 people. And I loved that. I really got into that. And then I also did some missionary work in Canada. And then we did some in the other states along the way. I took two of those trips. And then we also had other churches come to us. So I remember one summer, this was not one of my favorite memories at the first, but it was at the last, because right before this group of young people were coming to, quote, do missionary work with us, as in walking door to door and talking to people about Christ, I had something unfortunate happen at home, and I broke my toe. And so I am literally in a cast kind of thing, on crutches or in a wheelchair, going door to door talking to people. That's how I knew I really loved the Lord. I was not going to miss it. Okay.
Yes.
I was determined I was not going to miss it. And I took my Bible to high school, and I would talk to anybody that would listen about what Christ had done for me. And matter of fact, I had a friend who I knew very well as a sophomore in high school, who came back to me literally 40 years later and said, do you know that when I met you, I was a Catholic and I didn't really know much about Christ at all. I just knew that whatever we did at the Catholic Church. And he said, but you taking your Bible to school every day, the way you talked, the way you were with others, it made me give my life to the Lord.
Oh, wow.
40 years. Now, I knew nothing. I knew nothing about what he had gone through. And in the last couple of years, he passed away from cancer.
Hmm.
So, you know, you do not know, these small things that you do are going to make a big impact on someone somewhere down the way. And you hope that it will, but you don't really know. And I had a very dysfunctional family life. I ran away from home 3 times because I was being physically and emotionally attacked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then my first relationship outside of my parents' home was a total disaster, almost in the same exact way. I was emotionally, physically, psychologically abused. Mm-hmm. And as most people, you know, or young people would do, you go to someone and you ask to see if you can get counseling or help in any way. But at that time, I couldn't get the help I needed. The people that I asked were certain that I wasn't telling the truth, even though the other young ladies that were in the same Bible class as me were having similar issues with their partners too. It did not dawn on anybody that there was a substantial degree of abuse going on.
Hmm.
And so,
was this related to the church?
I believe so.
Yeah.
You know, I took it that way. You know, pardon me for trying to take it that way, but I did. And eventually I started rebelling back because nobody would listen. You know, and I had already already gone through my own parental problems. And then I had a grandmother who was also being physically abused by her spouse. And so I lived through all that trauma too, not knowing that eventually somewhere along the way, it might show up again in me. And it did a couple of times. But after no one would help me at the church I attended, I tried to get some counseling, but counseling for women back then was pretty much a blame game. The woman was at fault, you know? And so I did not get the help I needed. And I just started making my own mistakes right and left. and then when that relationship ended, I thought, well, what difference does it make? Nobody really cares anyway. Because I had been through it for so long that I just got to where I felt that way all the time. Nobody cares. But I was not a wild child. And so in my mind, I had to find ways of getting past it. And so I got out and got a job and started working and dating and seeking a true meaningful relationship. You know, it just had not happened yet. And so there were a few times when I felt like the Lord was trying to get my attention. One of them was when I got hit by a drunk driver and I got turned around three times on the highway, a very major highway that's got four lanes on each side. And I ended up on the median looking at the traffic. Man. Now, at that point, I was in shock and I saw nothing. It was nighttime, but I did not see anything. I was just sitting. Now, I knew I was hurt. I knew I was hurt, but I didn't know to what extent. And then all of a sudden, someone's knocking on my window and saying, "Are you okay in there?" And I'm rolling down the window thinking, this can't be happening. They can't be standing in the middle of the highway, because that's what they would have to be doing to talk to me, right? And as I'm being wheeled out, you know, the next thing, as this person is asking me this question, I'm like, "Are you real? You know, I don't understand. Are you a real person?" And she goes, "Yes, I'm just trying to find out if you're okay." And I said, "But what about the traffic?" You know, I'm trying to ask the crazy little questions you ask when these things happen to you. The next thing I know, I'm being taken by the fire department and the ambulance and what have you to the hospital. And I found out later that it was a lady who had drank too much, and she fell asleep at the wheel and she hit me going 65 miles an hour.
Was that the same woman asking if you were okay?
Oh, no, okay. No, no, that lady was asleep in her car.
Yeah, still, yeah.
And I don't think she got hurt, but I did. Mm-hmm. But I ended up being on that hospital, that board. They put you on a board. They tape your head down. They tape your head down, all this kind of stuff. And I was single, looking for whatever, trying to go out and visit friends. Shouldn't have been out, you know, and here I am laying taped to this bed or board, excuse me, all that time. And all of a sudden I see something behind me and it's something red. And I don't know what it is and I can't reach it because I feel sore and hurt all over. And they did call someone for me. I didn't have them call a family member because I didn't want them to know about me. They weren't very nice to me for a long time. And so I wasn't going to call them. And so I called a friend and they said, "Well, you really need to be taken to your family." And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. Okay. But long story short, the little red thing that was up behind my head was a little raincoat to remind me of a little person I had in my life. Someone I loved very, very much and shouldn't have been acting that way. So I never went out again and I changed my whole attitude and I got back into going to church full time again by changing to a different denomination church. And I struggled. I really, really struggled. But I met some people that were really great people and they were in my same situation. And they all formed the singles group. And they found out I could sing. And the next thing I know, I'm being given by a guy who did not even know me a whole thing of background tapes to Christian songs. Okay. And he said, Marchesa, this is for you. This is yours. And I said, why is it for me? And he said, because the Lord told me to give it to you. And so then became a solo ministry, and I got into the choir. I got into the singles ministry, bus ministry. I did videography also in bus ministry besides working on the praise and worship team. And then the people who also went out, you know, captain of the buses and whatever, did all that. And all of a sudden now I was really needed, accepted, loved. And I finally felt like, wait a minute, that hole in my heart that I felt all these years, that's not supposed to be there, you know? And since I'd known him all my life, I finally was, you know, walking through doors that were opening for this person, you know. And so I became part of the praise and worship team. And during that time period, there were so many different times when someone would come to me and say, can you pray for someone else? And I said, sure. And they said, no, I mean, can you come with me? We're going to go pray for someone else. They're here right now. They need what you have. And I'm like, really? Okay. And so that started opening up things, being a part of prayer and counseling, sort of, so to speak. And I enjoyed that a great deal because talking to people and loving on people was something I was good at doing. So, and I remember people were brought to me sometimes that might have been a bit different than others. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
People who were struggling with their, in today's time, and be struggling with their identity. And I remember, you know, telling this person, God really loves you. He's not judging you. He's loving you. He's drawing you. He's pulling you towards him. And then I could tell them about what I had gone through and what things were there that I had struggled with. And they would be very understanding about that. But in that, he was also healing.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, so I want to go back just for a second. So
sure.
You're raised in this Christian home. You are heavily involved in the church. You were taking your Bible to school with you. You're like on fire, right? Like you're all about it. And then after high school, you start to have like, you're kind of waxing and waning, which is what all of us do at some point, usually.
And I wasn't until my relationship fell apart.
Yeah. Your relationship with a person?
First marriage, yes.
Okay. So after that, then you have this moment, like, I guess you're going out with friends, you're doing things that are fun or whatever it may be. And you get in this terrible wreck, right? Now, you mentioned the singing. Were you singing before this?
No, not. So, I mean, yes, I was in high school and stuff, but no, not at the church. They didn't allow women to do a lot of anything. As a matter of fact, I was in a singing group of six ladies, and they would not allow us to sing for the church at all.
Really?
And so, all these ladies were also struggling in their relationships because of the two-sidedness. It was okay for the men to do anything they wanted. The women were not allowed to do anything.
Yeah. And so that, I guess that's where I was getting with this, is that at this point, like, are you rebelling against that? Like, do you feel like you're being oppressed and that it's not right? Do you believe that?
Yes. And I went and talked to people. People right. with him should have been able to say to me, well, this is not right. We should help you. And I did that, and nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
So like you were saying,
it was invisible to them. Invisible.
Yeah. Like women. Was this in Texas? Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. Yeah, because I know you reside in Texas now, but I was curious if that's where you've always been, if you've always grown up and been in Texas. Okay. Mm-hmm. Texas gal. Got it.
Yes. Texas gal. Woo.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's get back to where you were. So you were in this group that you're singing in the church, you're heavily involved in the church, and then someone comes and starts talking about prayer. And then you, I guess you're getting, is it kind of like a prayer team, or it's a group where all of you, when these things happen?
Just either in the singles group, yes, it was, but in the main congregation, it was just sporadically, you know, mm-hmm. just at, because they knew I was involved. I would help behind the scenes sometimes too. We had all kinds of people because it was a mega church at this Assembly of God that I went to. It was a mega church, and there's lots of people there that were, famous in Christianity, I guess. Really? That's the way to put it. Yeah. I was really good friends with the preacher, his and the staff. And so at one point I even got to work security. And when I would work security, then there would be singers like myself, Christian women or whatever, or men that came in and would perform for us. And then like the power team and people like that. And I got to be friends with all of them, so much so that they would ask me to come and, you know, go to Denny's or whatever afterwards and sit around and talk and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one other question for you. So whenever you are in the church before, mm-hmm. and then now you're in this new church, this mega church, I know that you're a person that studies the word and thinks about it and teaches on it and things like that. But back then, were you thinking about doctrine or theology or, you know, what you believed at that time? Or was it more just geared towards application life, just living and being a part of something? Like, do you understand my question?
Yeah, I understand. I was absorbing, but I was also having difficulty with some things.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of the way I had been raised before, but because something in me said, this just isn't right. It's not mm-hmm. there. It's not there. And right. Yeah, like I said, I absorbed a lot. We also used to have what was called the prayer tower there.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go there and sit and just be alone. And I found myself going there a lot. I found mm-hmm. myself trying to figure out, what is this new place? Is this the right place for me to be? Am I going on somewhere from here? You know, what are these people doing here? Do they all believe exactly the same? You know, mm-hmm. when you're in a large congregation like that, you also meet so many different ones. We were also next door to TBN, which was the home of all the Christian greats. So, you know, I might be helping usher in like five preachers that are preachers across the whole entire world. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like seeing, I'm observing, you know, trying to figure out. I would go to other meetings and stuff too outside of our church. But what I saw was a change. And when that change started to happen, it was very alarming to me. Popularity is not Christianity. Christianity is popular because of Christ. And right. when you start throwing all these other things into it, whether that be entertainment, whether that be the big names because they're visiting or we're going to have a conference, they're all going to come. And I knew a bunch of them. And then I knew a woman who her and her husband actually had their own TV, Christian TV program. She's still in it. He's passed away, but she's remarried. And she was a lovely, lovely person, sat in the pew right in front of me. And we visited and talked quite often back then. But there was something about it that always still made me feel like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my own race relationships and the healing that happened. Just like when I was a teenager, I would seek out people who mentored me in the faith. Mm-hmm. And in my particular case, it was women who were graceful, compassionate. They had the strength that I wanted as Christians, you know? And when I was in that church, I was looking for the same thing. I was looking for people who emulated that, who had that lifestyle, because I wanted it. And I wanted to get past any bad stuff that I felt, either from what I personally did or from what I personally experienced with others. And I think that towards the end of the 4 years being there, we were there for 4 years, or at least, yeah, we were there for 4 years. Between the third and the fourth year, I met my husband that I have now. And he had also come out of a different kind of church. And so when we got together and talked, I could see that he also saw things and didn't like things. But our first year of marriage, we moved over to a mega church, another mega church, because it was closer to our other neighborhood. And it was then, even though I was involved in music and all that, it was then that we started to say, we've got to leave this. We really have to move away from this. And he had already started studying some Bible studies by correspondence. And he said, this stuff that I'm studying right now, this talks more about whole Bible stuff instead of taking a topic and turning it into a lesson. It was taking whole meaty verses and, you know, bringing them over is what does this mean? And how does the Bible go together? And it started to be the foundation of the way we began to think.
You ever make something so good, people start interrogating you like, what's in this? Did you make this from scratch? Where did you learn to cook like that? And I just smile because deep down, I know the truth. I didn't level up my skills. I leveled up my seasoning. It's called my secret ingredient. Let's start with the MVP. Everything. This blend, it's the Thor of the spice rack. Chicken. Glorious. Roasted veggies? I ate those on purpose. Yes, I sprinkled it on popcorn and suddenly became everyone's favorite movie host. And to be honest with you, I might have even tried it on possum. Yeehaw. Do I regret it? Of course, but only because I didn't notice that the tail was still on it. Rookie mistake. Everything just works. It's like confidence in a jar. Shake it on, and suddenly you're plating like you're on a cooking show without breaking a sweat. Then there's Steakhouse. This one's bold, smoky, and, like me, a bit dramatic. It makes burgers taste like they've been grilled by someone with strong opinions and great taste. I've used it on steak, mushrooms, even sweet potato fries. And every single time someone says, wait, did you marinate this for, what, 48 hours? Nope, just shook it on, flipped it, and took all the credit. Last week, my cousin asked me for a recipe, and I said, sure, I'll leave it to you in my will. So if you want to rule the kitchen without lifting a finger, go to mysecretblends.com. That's mysecretblends.com. And don't forget to use code BURROWS for 20% off your first order. Shake it, serve it, smile sweetly when they ask, and say, shh, it's my secret.
Yeah, that I know that feeling. I remember, you know, being in a different churches where everything seemed topical and very surface level. And when you had questions, you could ask them and they would do their best to answer. And sometimes it was, you know, it's okay, just put it on the shelf. You can come back to it later. We're not meant to understand everything all the time or things like that. But I remember whenever I first started getting into that meatiness of it and started realizing, wait, there is a monster, big, big story here. Like there's a lot more to this than Jonah and the whale and David, David, you know, taking out Goliath, or Daniel in the lion's den, or, you know, whatever Mother's Day sermon that we would hear. I mean, there was so much more to it. And I found that that was very intriguing for me. Like once I heard that, I didn't want to hear anything else anymore. I wanted to keep going that direction.
Yes.
Seems like that's a lot of us are on, you know, went on that similar path.
True. That's very true. And I think it changes you. I think it makes you understand so much more. I kind of, you know, wrote a few notes about what I was thinking about today for our talk together. And I put on this that when we first got together, we searched for Yahweh's will in the mega church, the home church, the small congregation, the family gatherings, the church conferences. You know, we were seeking, and I think that's part of the process is seeking and looking and digging. And on all those situations, there did seem to be some truth, right? Mm-hmm. But the word of God was just subject to man's views. And I was looking for something that was subject to his view.
Yeah.
And I think that is what ends up making us feel like something is missing, especially in my case, it pertained to prophecy, because a lot of people talk about prophecy all the time. And my husband too, he was listening to a couple of different preachers on the TV at night. And I would say, what do you think about that person? And there were some characters, okay? Some real funny characters that would talk about prophecy. And there were all these stories and these thoughts from these people who expected lots of different outcomes for our future. Mm-hmm. And then just none of that seemed right to either one of us, right?
Yeah.
And so we were trying to figure out, well, why is it that we are not hearing it? But we did get invited by a friend of ours, because we started having a home church after we left. I think it was about, we went to a different church for a little while, and then we finally left because they were just very crazy people. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to explain it other than there was some of their actions were just crazy. Anyway, so we said, okay, what if we invited people over to just study the Bible together? And we did that. And then that one of the girls and guys that was in that group, they said, we left out of our church too, and we've been going to some feast days, and we went feast days, like in Leviticus. And they said, yeah, like in Leviticus. And so we studied that together. Mm-hmm. And they said, would you like to meet some of these people? So they invited us and we went. And we did that. And then from that, we met some other people who actually had a huge music conference every year. And when they found out that I was a singer and performer, then they definitely wanted me to come. And and then also Kyle is very, very good with sound and sound equipment, different things like that. So he and another guy both pooled both of their sound systems together. And we had this big event that was about 400 people, quite a lot of times. Okay. For 14 years straight, I think we went to that, sometimes twice a year, sometimes just once a year. But, wow. And during that time period, someone came along that Kyle had heard about that started teaching about fulfilled eschatology. But mm-hmm. he was also reading some stuff of Don Preston's and also David Curtis. Mm-hmm. And he said, you gotta see this lesson. This is all about the feast days with David here. And so we studied that. And he said, when we go to Don Preston's meeting, I think he will have different guest preachers. And I said, okay, well, we'll check that out. When we first checked it out, we were at a church. And I never heard anybody speak so fast in my life as Don.
You know what? That's still the case for me.
I love Don, and he loves me.
I do too.
And he and his wife and I are friends. And he's let me sing over there.
We love Janice. We love Janice.
Janice is adorable. Janice has let me help her serve people food and stuff like that. So it's really been great. We had a great relationship. And here they were only an hour and a half away from us. And that's pretty close. It was like really close to home now. Yay. Yes. And so we went to that. And the very first thing that really hit us both was talking about the Olivet Discourse. Yeah. And we were like, oh, you know how you deer in the headlights and your hair goes back because of the wind. That was the experience we were having. And yeah. I think we spent the night up there at a hotel and all that. Anyway, we go back to the hotel and start talking. I'm like, wow, did you just hear all that? Yeah. And I'm like taking notes. I've never taken notes so fast in my life either. He talks really with a lot. And then I finally just said, you know what? Maybe I should just take pictures with my phone. Bless him. Anyway, but it changed our lives. Mm-hmm. And we shared it with some people. And some of them went, you're nuts.
Yeah.
And other people said, maybe there's something to that. Mm-hmm. And some other people that we knew were also feast keepers, and we shared it with them, and they talked about it back with us. And I won't name names, but one particular person, I just found out that person and their spouse actually visited Zach's church this past Sunday. And they live in this, they don't even live in the same state. They live adjacent, but not in the same state. So anyway, to make a long story short, a whole bunch of people at one point that we had been going to these feast days with, and then we had been going to these music conferences with, all of a sudden, those same people were starting to come along a different direction, the same direction we were going. So Yahweh was leading them that way. It really wasn't anything we did, and it wasn't anything they did towards us. It was just all of a sudden we all took a turn. Mm-hmm. And we started turning a different way. And so different people within that same group started coming out at us. How dare you? How dare you believe differently? How dare you think differently? What is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. And you know how I respond to that.
Yeah, I know exactly how you respond to that, but I'm very curious about something. In what way did fulfilled eschatology change your life?
Well, I remember the first time that Kyle actually explained all of it to me. Mm-hmm. And of course, we went to the conferences and stuff. And when he sat down and actually talked to me and said, this is how I, right before we went to all these, he said, this is how I believe things really are. And I went, mm-hmm. What do you mean really are? We've just been like searching, you know, you sure? You positive. And I'm not a negative person. So I'm like, I said the silliest thing. Where is our hope?
Yeah. A lot of people say that to me too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I think that is the first question that a lot of people ask. So if everything's been done, then where is our hope? Mm-hmm. But I sat there for a little bit and I thought about what I had just asked. And then I thought, I had that aha moment. And I said, that means that if he's done everything he said he's going to do, and that's already in the past, then we're already there. And mm-hmm. he goes, what do you mean? And I said, the kingdom, we're already there. And I mm-hmm. went, wow, this is fantastic. And the more I listened to them talk about covenantal language, the more I listened to people talk about audience relevance, the more I heard beginning to end instead of take a chapter, take a verse, take a topic, let's go.
Yeah.
And it made everything, especially creation language. It changed all of that for me. Digging deeper into scriptures, like we had just talked about the Samaritan woman, digging deeper into the other levels of where the scripture goes, because it is covenantal language, and how, even when I teach people how you teach, people always used to teach the Old and the New Testament. That's how I grew up. No, it's Old and New Covenant. It's mm-hmm. Old Covenant language and New Covenant language. It's the old life we would have had and the new life we do have. Mm-hmm. So everything became this versus this. And I could understand that. because, you know, even in health, I teach that you can either have this or you can have this over here. So there was an alternative to the lost flailing soul, especially a person who's broken and needed a rowboat.
Yeah, sure. And you know what? It's one of the things that I've recognized just, you know, coming to a fulfilled eschatological position is that we experience that. The church experiences this, even though you didn't believe that everything was done whenever you were younger. You heard the name Jesus and there was something about him that drew you to him and you came to him. And yes, you've had a roller coaster life here, you know, at times, but eventually you've landed at this place where you learn that not only did he come, but he came and he said that he would do things and then that he did them. And then by doing so, you were given this liberty. And I was always so curious as a woman, just as a woman, what that means to you, but to know that you're in a place where there's now Jew nor Greek, nor male, nor female, nor bond, nor free, like that attitude. It seems like when you're a futurist, a lot of people put that, well, that's going to be sometime in the future, even though it doesn't even read that way. It read for them then, really. But did that change anything for you? Because you know how earlier we were talking about how women weren't respected and weren't listened to and weren't thought of. Did you come to this conclusion that you're as equal with anyone
that ever was? Yes, absolutely. Yes, because freedom in Christ is freedom for everyone in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He who has set free is free indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had heard that when I was younger. I knew all kinds of scripture when I was younger. You know, I memorized whole chapters.
Mm-hmm.
But to understand the meaning behind them, that's totally different. For women in the Bible, I noticed that he came to them lots of different times.
Yeah.
And he didn't just leave them the way they were when he came to them.
Mm-hmm.
He changed their lives. He gave them the freedom to be who they could be in him.
Mm-hmm.
There was always a relationship that was established.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know how to establish good relationships until I learned this.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself not knowing how, even as a Christian, why can't I, and fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
But when I learned this, you know, it changed so many books in the Bible. They began to be very active and open in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when I prayed for wisdom for something, then I knew that I was going to understand it. It wasn't just, oh, you're just a girl, you know, you can't. You can't really teach with what you've had in your background. You know, you probably should just whatever. But I understood that the Bible clearly explains what those verses were about, who they were to, and why they were told what they were told, and how do I glean from it? You know, how does anyone get from it what he intends for us to get? But when I learned about this, this was such a freedom. There was no walking around feeling like, oh, you're going to say something wrong, you're going to do something wrong, and you're going to be punished for that. No, it just completely disappeared. And all the stuff that had been before, I could talk to another person and say, guess what? He didn't hold that against you.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall not either.
Isn't that a bizarre thing, though? It's one of the things about Christianity that's always been surprising to me, is that prior to knowing this, we knew about things, but we didn't know the things. We knew about them, but didn't know them. Like, you're a believer, but you don't know that all things are fulfilled. But you are a believer. You are a true believer, and you're seeking, and what's going on in your mind, it seems to be that is the part of the journey for those that are in the New Covenant age, is that you hear the gospel that was presented the same way that it was presented during the Old Covenant age, and you respond to it, and then you're made alive, and the Spirit begins to do this work inside you. Like, all this is happening, and you're not even aware that you're even in that place, but you are, but you don't know it. Isn't that wild? I mean, once it starts opening up, and that it really is we have a God who is relational. Mm-hmm. And if we don't focus on that relationship, we will get in our heads and we will book smart this thing. And book smarting is not a relationship.
No. And it took me all the way back to the first and second Adam. It took me all the way back.
Yeah.
And the first Adam and Eve sinned against God. So they messed up, but he knew they would.
Mm.
If you think about that, they knew he would.
Yeah.
So they create a remedy even when we didn't know we needed one.
Mm.
So yeah. Our creation experience happens in the new covenant also when we didn't know we needed one.
Yeah.
So we do look at scriptures differently, which is fantastic. I remember looking, I wrote a song called By Faith. Mm-hmm. And it's all about Hebrews 11. And this song talks about that very last verse. And it says, all of these, and it's talking about all the people of faith that it just mentioned. It says they could not even have their promise until we could.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, were they still having to wait 2,000, 2,200, 2,500 years in the future, 3,000 years in the future, till whenever this event was supposed to happen, according to the church I used to go to? Or did it already happen? Because if it did already happen, that means they received their promises, and I've already received mine as well. And guess what? We're all in the same family. And what good news is that?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's how it really woke me up.
Yeah. And so that's now, like when we were talking earlier about how, like, you've gone and you've taught at women's groups or whatever, these are the things that you're talking about and sharing now after all these years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. How long have you been on this journey?
About 20 years.
20 years.
Mm-hmm. About
20. It's stuck, huh? It's stuck.
Yeah. I have a lot of people in the ladies class in May said something like, oh, wow, really? It's been that long for you? And I said, yeah, it has. And I said, I know there's a couple people in here that it's been a whole lot longer than that. Mm-hmm. And I looked around the room and I looked at one of the daughters that's of a family that has raised their whole family believing it this way. And wow. It was just, I was like, you know, your heart, you go, oh, wow, that's so great. Their whole family. And they've all come to know him in that way. And they all are still faithful believers. And they are all still, when they get together with someone else and marry, they still are, and so on and so on. And that's what it's supposed to be, generational.
Yeah.
You want that for your family. You want to know that what you're learning out of the scripture, what you're understanding out of the scripture, it changes people, not just yourself, but it changes people around you. And you can have conversations with people. I had one this morning. Actually, I had two this morning. And one of the two, the person says, well, I know in the past I read books, and I know in the past I read more scripture than I read today. And I said, all you had to do is these three things. Ask the Heavenly Father to help you. Ask him to use his Spirit to talk to you. And then ask him for the wisdom to understand it all.
Yeah.
I said, that's really only three things.
Yeah.
And I said, they all involve seeking what he would have you learn. Mm. And I said, it doesn't matter what you've had in the past, and it doesn't matter what you think you're going to have in the future. Just do this right now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know? I mean, it's relational. That's what I was saying. It's talking to the Spirit of God, and you know, I talk about the fruits of the Spirit all the time, and that's I have this carnal mind that's going on inside of me, and then I've got this spirit that's working and wrestling against it, and causing me to be patient and to show love and to have kindness and to be gentle, like all those things that Spirit, you know, works through us, and that those fruits aren't for me; they're for everybody else that's on the outside, right? And if yes. we're all doing that, you know, we're a bunch of fruity people, and that.
Well, you don't want to be like the fruit tree that he's turned and looked at and said, "You are no more."
That's right. You don't want that anymore. No,
you don't want that. You want to be fruitful in the kingdom.
Well,
and people seek to do more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was another thing too. I remember people were always, you know, it's only 10 to 20% of the church that does anything around here. Well, okay, maybe it's because you're putting it to them wrong.
Yeah.
First of all, you're putting it to them that they have to do something
mm-hmm.
when Christ already did.
Right.
Number two, aren't they doing something when they're with their family, or when they're raising a godly family, when they're at their job and they're speaking to someone about their relationship? You know, aren't those all doing too? Why do you count these people so few?
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're up here sweeping the floor, or they're up here serving dinner to someone. That's not all of us.
No. And that's a great point. A lot of times that's what they do. They count it when you're inside the church doors, which sorry, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, but when the church is in here.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So before we close, can you believe we're almost done an hour already? That went quick.
Wow.
You and I are going to have a follow-up conversation about this, but I just want to touch on a little bit before we close out. So obviously you're a holistic nutrition coach. And for me, obviously very incredibly important to me, because I've been talking with you about this every other week for over a year. And we've talked about numerous things. So I'm just really curious, like, what got you into that and decided to go the professional route and actually start, you know, getting out there helping people? What made you decide to do that?
Well, when I got married to Kyle, his mother was in a nutritional supplement company.
Mm-hmm.
A company that was really super influential in the health business. The main person that started it, I don't remember what his thing was, but you remember people used to always create some kind of tonic or whatever for people, a liquid tonic.
Yeah.
Well, I think he first started out with a liquid supplement of some sort, and then he went on to doing supplements that were capsules or tablets or whatever. And I started going to meetings with her and with the people that were interested in that. And I started really studying a lot about, you know, what deficiencies and things were in a person's body. At that point in time, I had already done teaching of gymnastics, teaching of ballet, teaching of Pilates, and aerobics. And I wanted to help people in a bigger way. So I just kept doing that. I would sell stuff and I would learn more things. And in my business, I can work on transformation and image too. So eventually along the way, I also had learned about colors and things like that that work with people and help people. It's a mood thing also sometimes, mm-hmm. Transformation, because people feel frumpy and they don't have self-esteem and they feel insecure. And of course I went through that. So I understood it. And they don't eat well, or they're having problems with health in some area and they don't know how to get out of the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a bit later before I kept hearing the Lord tell me this word. The word was Avalon, and he kept saying it over and over and over to me. Well, this was after I had started taking classes and being in nutrition and herbology and different areas like that. I'd already taken psychology and sociology, and I had thought that I would become some sort of therapist anyway. Mm-hmm. But when that didn't happen, then I just started thinking at some point it's going to apply to something, because God wouldn't have taken me there had he not want me to use it for something. Right, and right. Then eventually, after I created this program called the Healthy Habits Program, and I came up with a nutritional program that allowed people just to eat organically and naturally and as close to nature as God intended. And mm-hmm. so when that happened, then I had been doing that for quite some time. And then all of a sudden I saw this program that said, you should become a life coach. And I'm like, life coach? Really? What is that about? So I went and checked it out and talked to the lady on the telephone. And then I talked to Kyle about it. And he said, what do you think you want to use it for? And I told him, I said, I want to use it in my business because I think it will change everything. Mm. And no truer words were said, because after I had these, you have to have 60 full hours of training before you can become one. It takes 3 full weekends where you also are spilling your guts to perfect strangers while they do the same for you. Mm-hmm. And you learn how to talk to people.
Right.
Intimately talk to people, how to ask the right questions, how to do the work on your side and how to help them do the work on their side. And then I also learned about group therapy too. And it was amazing. I was absolutely amazed. And so after that happened and I started integrating that into the business, he just kept saying, Avalon, Avalon. And so I said, Avalon, what's that supposed to be? So I started writing it down and it became Avalon Wellness Center. Mm-hmm. And so it's been an amazing, amazing many years now. All in all, if I have to go back, it's been over 30 years of working in it in this way in some point or another. Mm-hmm. Half of it has been with the life coaching added to it. And so it's been such a blessing. And, yeah. And I've met such wonderful people like yourself.
Yeah. I mean, that whenever we first met and we talked about it, you know, I was at first I was skeptical because I've never been one of those people, you know, that let me put it to you this way. I know what to do for myself. I don't need somebody else to tell me. I can read books. I can read online. Right. But after just talking to you, and you were so sweet and you were just very kind, and you said that, you know, look, I'm looking at it from a holistic point of view, but a whole view, like we're going to incorporate talking about the Lord in our lives and the things that we're doing. We're not just going to talk about food. We're not just going to talk about exercise. We're going to talk about health, you know, and mental health, physical well-being. And, you know, at that very moment, I was like, you know, that sounds so enticing. Like, I really want to just do that. And I'm so glad that I did. And, you know, got to know you. And it really has. We've had a lot of ups and downs over the last year. I mean, you know, like with the storm here and all of the stuff that was going on. And you've just been there. You've been there every step of the way. And so I'll put, we're going to have a follow-up call about that in particular. So I'll share some stuff in the show notes, but eventually, guys, I'll have Marchesa back and we're going to talk about her business and what I like about it and, you know, promote it, because I think other people need to get involved in this because it's really changed my life for the better. And I'm, you know, hey, I'm sleeping great. I'm eating healthy. I have a lot of energy, like a lot of things that I didn't have, I've got today. And that's just one year. And we're still trucking.
Well, bless the Lord for that. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Marchesa, I appreciate you being on the podcast. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me. And as I said before, we give glory to Yeshua the Christ for allowing us to be together as friends and as Christian brother and sister. It's just been such a blessing.
Absolutely. Well, hang on. I'm going to end this recording and you just hang on there and we'll talk after, okay?
Okay. Sounds great. Thanks. Hi, everyone.
Hey, everybody. If you'd like to help us continue to make these episodes and get access to exclusive content, you could sign up at patreon.com. www.patreon.com/theburrows of Berea. That's www.patreon.com/theburrows of Berea. Thank you all so much.
When I'm in the kitchen, I make it look like I'm hosting my own cooking show. Pots clanging, oven doors slamming, me yelling stuff like, "Where's the roux?" I don't even know what a roux is, honestly. Meanwhile, what am I actually doing? Sprinkling on a little thing called my secret ingredient. That's it. That's the whole magic trick. They've got two blends, and honestly, they're doing all the work while I just look busy. First up, everything seasoning. This stuff turns your basic breakfast into a brunch masterpiece. I've put it on chicken, eggs, toast, hash browns. Oh, and last week, I sprinkled on leftover pizza like a total savage. Game changer. And yes, I got a little cocky and threw it on some apple slices. Is that illegal? Probably. Did it taste amazing? Yes. Now, for the main event, steakhouse seasoning. This seasoning turns your grill into a holy shrine of meat. Burgers, next level. Steaks, legendary. Portobello mushrooms, so good, I had to sit down for a minute. One shake and suddenly people are like, "Dang, you must have marinated this for days." And I'm like, "Totally, yep, marinated it in secret magic." So if you want to look like a culinary genius without actually doing much, head over to mysecretblends.com. That's mysecretblends.com. And don't forget to use code Burrows at checkout for 20% off your first order. That's B-U-R-R-O-S at checkout for 20% off your first order. Bang your pots, slam your drawers, but just know the real secret, it's in the shake. My secret ingredient. Try it today.